I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
Who's the loudest voice in your life? Yeah. Rain is the loudest voice in my life. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. She's the loudest voice in all our lives. No, I'm just kidding. Really, though, I really want you to think about it, and I want you to be honest, okay? I want you to be completely honest, because we are not talking about your future life's aspirations, who you hope that's going to be. We are talking about your present-day operations, because we can't make a change until we acknowledge our current course, and we can't let the Lord lead until we admit that it's hard to hear Him, because He is. And Jesus himself explains why. He says, why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. And here we go. This is classic Jesus right there, right? He loves to say challenging things to challenge how we hear. Because the Pharisees at this point have got to be saying, like, I don't hear you. You know we can hear you, right? Like, you're the only one talking. We can definitely hear you. To which I imagine Jesus just winked at his disciples to remind them, you know, there I go again. I'm being a rascal. This is my style, which is, if something sounds untrue, it's usually a clue to question yourself. And since literal volume wasn't the problem, his listeners are led to consider if he meant something else was obstructing the understanding. Which it was, because just a few verses later, he reveals how it is a heart problem. And he says, whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason that you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. Okay, you get it? The language isn't hard to hear. Our problem is the truth is hard to swallow. For the ear tests words as the tongue tastes food. And in the exact same way that toddlers pitch a fit when meals are made to keep them healthy over happy, our heart won't welcome what it doesn't want to hear. So we try to spit out all those hard truths that God speaks into our lives so we can swap them out with the sweet stuff that we already want. And to avoid conviction, we convince ourselves that our wish was His command. That's what you wanted me to have all along, right, Lord? I knew it was. You didn't want me to eat vegetables. Yeah. And that right there, that is why Jeremiah says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Which means even devoted Christians need to be careful when ascribing whose words they heard. Because we can be a little too eager to give the feelings of our flesh a heavenly accent, attaching God told me or the Spirit said to the self-serving words of a deceitful heart. So, listen, don't mishear me on this. God absolutely speaks into every believer's life, but confirming that it is Him that we heard is critical. In fact, it's commanded. We are told, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Okay, now, I know what you're thinking, right? Test Him. I thought we're not supposed to, you know, you don't put God to the test. Here's the deal, okay? Scripture does warn us to not test God on our terms. But it does also command us to test God on His terms. And while that sounds a little confusing, here's why that is. Our tests make God earn our trust. But His tests make us learn to trust. You get that? Okay, it's a good thing. This is a positive thing. He would love to give you everything that you really want. He would just love to just give everything that you dreamed of, that your heart really wants, that it doesn't even know. But getting it all on our terms would make us spoiled and self-centered. But getting it on His terms would make us grateful and trusting. So it has to be Him. It can't be like what we're telling Him to do. So we should never tell Him to verify His voice. We should seek Him to verify His voice. It's a test for us. It's not a test for him. And seeking him always, always starts with the scripture that we know he spoke. That's what this church is about. We are built on his word, right? We know he spoke there. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And we do that to learn and trust the way that he speaks and leads so we can recognize him. And that was the point of last week's wonderful sermon, Hindsight, Foresight. Love this sermon because it is such a good, it's so encouraging, right? Because through that we learned even when it's hard to hear exactly why God would guide us into a pit, if we can trust that our trials are going to teach us how to hear his voice, then like Joseph, our ears will actually hear when he shares the happy ending. We're like, I know you're doing something. I know how you talk. I know what's going on. I know that I will be able to look back on this and understand it. But in that, I want you to remember, God's voice did not take Joseph straight to the palace, right? It did not give him power right away. First, it led him to learn the humility and the patience that Joe needed to be able to trust and follow. That's just part of the process. It's the whole reason. And since his faith came into focus as his flesh got out of the way, his heart got trained to hear God's guidance, even if he had to wait until hindsight, which is what a lot of us have to do, even though we don't like it. But the reason why that works is because every single voice leaves a trail that is very easy to see once it's been walked. You can understand, oh, that's what we were doing after you do it. So God's word shows us how he speaks, but our walk shows us how to hear. We got to tune our ears. And so if we want to walk the walk that tunes our ears to make God's voice easier to hear, we can condense his scriptural examples into a very simple equation. Here it is. Aim plus attention equals amplification. Okay, it's that simple. I want you to take that home. Aim plus attention equals amplification, because God's voice gets louder in our life when we seek to strengthen the aim and attention of our conversation. And it all comes down to what comes out of our mouth, because our praise and worship is what decides our aim and attention. They correct our aim by reminding us who God is. And they focus our attention by reminding us who God isn't. Because consistent contact with his real character amplifies the conversation. Not by making God literally louder, but by making false idols completely speechless. And that's because having the real relationship makes it impossible for our heart to trust a counterfeit. Okay, you'll just know it. You'll say, I know you're not the Lord because I know the Lord and you, sir, are no Lord. So start with step one. Here it is. Step one, check your aim. Okay? Check your aim through your praise and worship. Check out where it's aimed, because aim verifies the identity of the God that you're talking to. And even our most sincere praise can use God's name but still be aimed at an idol in our own heart. Because if the Lord that I'm talking to exists only to ever approve my politics or fix my family or bless my plans, and it never corrects me, boy, oh boy, it is easy to worship him as Jesus. But I'm really just aimed at myself doing a really bad God impression. That is who you're worshiping. And that is how Micah says we actually like it. This is one of my new favorite verses in the Bible. Micah says, if a liar and a deceiver comes and says, I'll prophesy for you plenty of wine and beer, well, that would be just the prophet for these people. Amen. I'd go to that church. I think that church would be very popular, right? But Ezekiel reminds us what that means, the consequences of doing something like that, right? He says, have you not seen false visions and uttered lying divinations when you say, the Lord declares, though I have not spoken? Ouch. Okay, that is convicting. That is a convicting reminder, because it means we are false prophets when we put our words into God's mouth. Mm-hmm. And yet, it is so easy to do. It is so easy to do, because our appetite for everything earthly is so loud that we allow ourselves to believe that it must be God. This is what God wants for me, right? Just because you want it so much. But just like that, we've adjusted our aim Because we get excited to worship a God who strangely agrees with everything I want. Right? That is such a great God, isn't it? He just wants me to be rich. That's so nice. But just like postage, no prayer, no praise, or any appeal can reach the right ears if it has the wrong address. But praise and worship can recalibrate our aim every single day. Because before I tell God what I want, and believe you, I will. We come to him and go, I got a list for you today, Lord. Here's the stuff that I want, right? Before you get into it, worship reminds me who he is, right? The aim that I am sending these words to. You got to stop and say, you are holy, okay? You are holy. You are wise. You are good. Because you're God and I am not, and I prove it every day. So when we disagree on where we think my path should lead, that's a good thing, right? That means I'm probably talking to the real God, because if we're always in agreement, right? That's a bad thing. I won't be surprised when we disagree. I'll be strengthened, because if it was constant agreement, that's what should make me suspicious. That's the sign that you're probably talking to yourself. But even after we get that right, even after we get that aim set up, right, we figure out who it is that we're talking to, we set our course and we do it right, after praise helps us keep the address of my words correct, the conversation is still going to fail if we don't listen. That's just a one-sided, right? That's just you talking to a wall. So after fixing our aim, it is time for step two. You need to focus your attention. Because like Timothy says, we have all got spiritual ADD, so to suit their own desires, some people will gather around them teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. And to do that, they will turn their ears away from the truth. But I want you to hear what that means, right? Notice that turning away from the truth means they were once turned toward it, which means they knew better, but they just didn't want better. Because when your heart is not in a conversation, your mind wanders. And that is a problem. Because wandering attention means an aimless walk, and that is a recipe for disaster. And if you're not focused on where you're walking and why, then you are susceptible to every desirable distraction that your heart sees, right? And if an idol gets your heart's attention, it's just a matter of time before it gets your worship too. Because here's how it works. Just really think about this in your life. It works this way. Attention is all it takes to create affection, right? You just see it all over. That's how I got my wife. I was just like, I'm always around, you know? She's like, I think I like him, but I can't tell. I can't see anything else. And I'm like, that's right, you know? Attention creates affection. This is good for all you single guys out there. This is how it works. Attention creates affection. And then affection produces allegiance. And then allegiance demands obedience. And so every single product and politician and person panders to capture. Right? They want to capitalize on that, and that's how they get you. And if you don't believe that, I would ask you to just take out your phone and look at anything social media related, anything, any form of social media. Because social media, we've just gotten so brazen, we just don't even care anymore. They just exposed the science. They just said, here's the actual way that it works. We've done the studies. We've paid for it. This is how humans are, and we're just going to make money off of it. And it's the exact same three steps, but they just call it engagement and retention. And then revenue. That's the enslavement part. They just want to get you, right? You're revenue to them. You're the currency. Because like every single earthly idol, the algorithm uses whatever it is that you want to worship to steal your attention, but then to make you a slave. So, you know, does your heart like a little gossip? Well, you won't believe what we caught Jennifer Aniston wearing. Click right here, you know? Do you wish that you had a better body? Is that what your heart's yearning for? Well, we are giving the first 100 people who subscribe a free trial of our new muscle-building, hair-growing, wrinkle-smoothing, GLP-1 antidepressant snake oil serum that'll blow you away. Right? It's just, you've seen it, right? You'd click right on it right now. You're like, okay, no problem. Yeah, I know, I know. This is, who's old enough? Remember Columbia Music House? That was that same thing. Free CDs? Awesome! And then later on, what do you want for Christmas? Just get me out of my contract, Mom. That's all I... But they don't care. Idols don't care. They don't care what they need to say as long as it captures our attention. It has no idea what the content. They're just interested in getting you on the hook because they already know our heart receives its orders from whatever receives its attention. And it's not just people and products. If our heart is set on approval, well, then approval will whisper things to us, right? It'll say things like, don't admit that. And will obey. If you give comfort your attention, Lord knows I do. If you give comfort your attention, it'll say things like, just avoid that conversation and will obey. You focus on fear and it'll convince you to just always assume the worst so that it stays in control. And here's the good news, though. As true as that is, here's the good news. If idols can do it, so can we. We can use our worship to reclaim our attention and choose our Lord. Because it goes both ways when Paul says, don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey. Right? You've entered into that contract. You said terms and conditions. Done, right? And you remember why Jesus said we couldn't hear him? We weren't his. Right? He said, you can't hear me because you're not God's. We weren't his, and he's right. Our hearts might already belong to someone else. Our hearts might belong to fashion or football or cars or computers or money or even our marriage more than they belong to him. And we won't hear his voice until we shift our attention by being deliberate about our worship. You know, what we're really set on, you can't just let it happen. You got to take the reins on that because worshiping the real God will discipline your heart to focus on his real voice long enough to finally hear where his real plan really leads. If you just stay with it, you'll go, this is what I wanted the whole time. It just takes a minute because you got to trust before you find out. And the more attention that he gets, the more attention that you give him, the more hope fills our heart. It's what you wanted anyway. Your heart starts to get on board with it. Because as Jesus says, only a real God can give a real reward. So consider carefully what you hear. Because with the measure that you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. But I want you to hear that right, okay? Because it's not quid pro quo. You can kind of read into that wrong. It's not like tit for tat. Jesus isn't telling us that we can somehow control God's speech. It's not like if you do this, then he has to do that. That's not what's going on here. We can't control his speech. He's teaching us that we can control its influence. Because we authorize power when we vocalize approval. That's it. We are the ones, those things only have the power that we give them. And again, this is not because, you know, God's plan had to meet our terms. It's not like he doesn't have power until we give it to him. It's because our plan needs to meet his terms so we can learn. And until we do, it's just us alone. It's us and our terms and our gods in the end. Like all the way until the end. And this is exactly what happened to Israel when they let their idols, which they just took every idol that they could get their hands on. Oh, give me that, right? All their idols drown out God until trouble showed up and made them cry out to the real God, who then said, you've forsaken me. You've forsaken me and served other gods, so I'll no longer save you. Look, go and cry out to the gods that you have chosen. All right, this is what you wanted. Let them save you when you're in trouble because you didn't want me, you know? And I really, really want you to hear that. None of us want to hear it, but I want you to hear that. Whatever we worship will be the savior that we summon. Okay? Whatever it is that we worship will be the savior that we summon when we need it. But remember this, money can't forgive us. Right? Approval cannot resurrect us. Comfort cannot carry us. And any God created by our own heart can't guide us anywhere beyond itself. That's it. And that leads to this very disturbing thought that struck me one Sunday right here during worship while I was mouthing the words and mentally wandering somewhere else. This popped into my head. This is a very, oh boy, concern. This is as close to a Turner Burn message that you're going to get from me, but this is what God definitely put on my heart. And here was the thought that I had while I was just faking it. What if the volume you use to worship God down here was the volume he uses to call you up there? Okay? Really think about that. I really imagine this, okay? What if when you opened your eyes after death, everything went dark? And all you knew was, I'm in trouble. Okay, I don't know what I'm doing. All of a sudden, it's real. And what if your worship decided what you could hear on the way to heaven the same way that it decided what you were willing to hear on your way through this life? Are you happy with who's loudest when you're trying to find your way? When things get real? Who is it that you would hear when you shout, which way do I go now? What are you going to hear? Is it going to be your TV? Is your TV yelling over everybody else because you couldn't get enough Netflix while you were on Earth? Are the Seahawks screaming for your attention the way that you did on the Sunday that you skipped church? I'm afraid of that one. How loud is money allowed to speak based on the attention and importance that you gave it in life? And how many other lords, like politics or popularity or pleasure, are competing for your attention with the amplified voices that you enabled while Jesus is just mouthing the words, over here, you're almost home, in the exact same way that you barely sang his praise at church? I don't know what's happening there, but one of those idols just died in front of us. That was awesome. Right? That's it. Somebody, whoever's worshiping that donkey, they're in trouble. But yeah, I mean, think about that. Think about, this is why worship's going to be so loud at the end of this message, right? Is because that, what if that's the volume that you know, that he's enabled to have, is the relationship that he's enabled to have is from you. And now listen, I just want you to think about this, but I want you to really understand, I'm not saying that God's love is measured in decibels or earned by singing, but I am saying that how we hear is up to us. Okay, it is all up to us. And God does warn, when I called, they did not listen. So when they called, I would not listen. And Jesus does say, whoever acknowledges me before others, oh, I will acknowledge them before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown them before my Father in heaven. Not from a lack of love, but from a lack of relationship. You tied his hands. Because while he would love to take you home, that's all he wants. That's what he came here and died to do, is to get you home. But if he was asked if you were ready to go, he would have to say he never knew you. Because you never heard him over all of the other gods that had your attention. He said, I tried to have a relationship, but he just couldn't hear me. Everything else was yelling so loud, even the ones that you called Jesus. I got to tell you, these thoughts, they didn't scare the bejesus out of me. They scared the real Jesus into me. And that's it. I mean, again, I don't want it to be like, this is not a fear thing. This is not a lookout or whatever. This is a reality check. This is threaded throughout Scripture in this way where he's saying, look, all I want to do, you know, I'll do anything to come save you, but it's in your hands. You gotta ask him. You gotta have a real relationship, because the question may be convicting, but it is critical to this life and the next. And it is this: what have you made loud enough to lead you? Because whatever it is that you're enabling, whatever you're amplifying, that is what's leading you now, and it's what's going to lead you forever. But here's the thing, whatever that is, whatever you're thinking of, whatever you know right now, as I'm saying this, is just, it's too loud, you're giving it too much of your attention. If that answer is not Jesus, first and foremost, forget it right now. Forget it. Put it behind you. Here's the good news, because today if you hear his voice. Right? Today, right now, everything else is a little quieter. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Don't turn away. Stay where you are. Instead, amplify his voice with the worship that softens your heart to hear what he has to say. Because every single voice wants to be your Lord down here, but every single day, it is up to you who gets heard. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray about it, guys. Father God, boy, we love you, the real you, who you are. We trust you, and we aim all of our praise at who your word says you are, not who we say you are. And so, Holy Spirit, we ask that you redirect our attention to quiet all counterfeits and soften our hearts to your truth, even when it is hard to hear. And Lord Jesus, we just thank you for calling us out of darkness and leading us into our home. And we ask for your voice to influence our voice as we learn to trust you completely and follow you closely and praise you loudly. And to that we all said, Amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.